Kitchen with Chris Mann on BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.
And, oh, and welcoming to the show today, the chef with, I think, the best name that we've ever had of a chef. It's Pina Broccoli Anahi. Hello.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
All of those.
It's
broccoli,
all one big day, isn't it?
It is. It is. Working from home, of course. You're out Bournway, aren't you?
Yes, just west of Cambridge.
And Broccoli, that's your maiden name, Italian?
It is, Broccoli, yes. It's broccoli. Actually quite a common name in certain parts of Italy. It's a bit like Smith, so nobody bats an eyelash when you go to Italy and say Broccoli.
No, very fitting name for a chef or someone interested in food as you are.
Yes, related name.
Now, you've lived and been around the world and you've got lots of influences in your life. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm Canadian. I was born in Montreal from an Italian family that immigrated from Italy in the 1950s. So I grew up trilingual, speaking English and French, because I'm from the French part of Canada.
Right.
And so I had that Italian influence and, you know, the Quebec influence, Canadian influence. And my father actually owned a restaurant, which he had for about 50 years, and it was a Jewish deli.
Oh.
Because he decided that was... a good business to have when he immigrated from Italy. He was 20 years old and he was working in construction. And the first Canadian winter, he was on the roof looking down. He was freezing, looking down and saying, "Oh, these people are going to work in these warm restaurants. I think I want to do that." So he learned that he worked in the delis, you know, like sort of the New York style delis, you know, like Katz's Deli.
So,
obviously,
diners. Kosher food and matzo ball soup and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, pastrami
exactly.
On rye.
Yeah. Yeah, so he had Montreal had quite a big population, so he opened one in the area where he pretty much lived when he arrived from Italy, and he opened that in that area in a chain mall, and it was there for 50 years.
A lot of sandwiches, right?
A lot of the challah sandwiches, smoked meat, or what we call salt beef here, matzo ball soup, kreplak.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, your husband is Portuguese, have I got that right?
Yeah, so he's Portuguese heritage. He's born in London, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. Well, so all that mixed in your... choice of food these days. You've got a great website. Again, a great name. I love it. 12culinarystew.com.
Yes.
Well, how did you come up with that?
It's really quite random, actually. I thought about having a food blog for a while. It was just sort of something I had in my head, and I just never really... I think once I came up with the name, then it encouraged me to go. And it's really random. So there's a band that we like called Clutch, and they have a song, American Sleep. And one of the lyrics is 12 Fisherman Stew.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's kind of a cool lyric. And I thought, well, I can't do 12 Fisherman Stew because it sounds like it would be a seafood site or something. So I just changed to Culinary Stew.
Very good.
Yeah.
And your subtitle for it is A Bubbling Cauldron of Food Experiences,
yes.
Which suggests you like it hot.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, the stew, you know, stirring that culinary stew of my experiences. So basically, I don't consider myself a chef or anything. I like to cook. My husband's really good at some things, like fish and meat. I'm good with pasta. So I wanted to have a blog where I could share recipes. And then it just turned out that Cambridge has an amazing food scene.
Yeah.
And so I was sharing my experiences there at events or visiting restaurants, cafes. It just took off from there. And this year, it's actually going to be 7 years.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
On the 12th was my first post.
Now, we're going to talk about what? What's the recipe you're going to talk about a bit later on?
Yes, the two-pan chicken with red potatoes and feta.
That sounds fantastic. I wanted to find out what you eat day-to-day and how lockdown is for you. So what have you had today for lunch?
Today was actually a break from cooking today. So I every week I order something from the Modern Table, which is a relatively new Cambridge independent, Liz Young, who used to be at the Cambridge Cookery School, who's branched out on her own now.
Right.
And every week she's got a surprise dish, a ready meal. So I ordered a falafel with bulgur wheat, a Turkish salad with some like a dill yogurt with some brioche bread. So we had that for lunch because usually we can't wait when we pick it up. We pick it up at Burwash Larder, which is close to us.
Yeah.
So just before lunch. So we usually have it for lunch and then have something lighter for dinner.
Yeah. And are you finding you're eating more or less during this whole lockdown stage of fighting COVID?
Probably eating more baked things. I don't bake, but I started baking, you know, like the banana bread and and, you know, loaves and things like that. So probably more cakes and more bread, I think.
Last year I saw you had an orange rosemary drizzle loaf up on your website.
Yeah, that one's actually quite popular. So I'm not surprised at all.
It looks delicious.
Yeah, it's really good because you've got a little bit of rosemary in it, and then you just drizzle, you make like an orange drizzle from fresh oranges.
And it reminded me that one of the casualties of lockdown has been charity bake sales, because we can't have them anymore.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that need to be done virtually or find other ways to do it. It's amazing how, you know, all kinds of businesses have adapted to be safe and keep other people safe.
Yeah, you also did carrot muffins.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. It's super easy, and it uses olive oil, like just any cheap olive oil. Don't use the good stuff for that one. So it's really easy to mix in with the sugar instead of having butter. It's a bit more laborious. and it's a great way to use up like any carrots you have languishing in the fridge. You just grate them right in there, and you just mix like a tray of carrots that you, carrot muffins that you can freeze or give to people. Or.
And I think that one of the best things about that recipe you did was a little kick of cinnamon in there, cut down on the sugar.
Yeah, a little kick of cinnamon, yeah. So I lowered the sugar content of it, so put a lot less sugar. And I think it didn't need it because carrots are naturally sweet anyway. And adding a little bit of that cinnamon gives it that sort of carrot cake feel. Now, you could put like a cream cheese frosting on it to make it a bit more carrot cake-like, but I was happy with it just on its own. And once we had leftover vanilla custard and we just put that on it, we're like, oh, this is nice.
Absolutely. There's some lovely recipes that maybe we'll get to another day. Carrot muffins, penne with ham and peas and tomato cream sauce and chicken fajitas. But we're going to talk about the two-pan chicken with red potatoes and feta. Is that right? Today's recipe? Okay. Sit tight, Peter. I'm going to check on the travel. I'm going to play... do you like Taylor Swift?
Yes, sure. Yes.
I'm going to play a bit of Taylor Swift music. You sounded a bit reluctant there.
No, I like everything, yeah.
I'll have to tell her to up her game if you're not happy. Taylor Swift coming on the way, and then we'll be back to chat with you. Right, Pina Broccoli Anai is our guest from her website, 12culinarystew.com. We're in the afternoon kitchen. Pina Broccoli Anai is here. She runs, did I pronounce that right, Pina?
Anaya.
Yeah. It's A-N-N-A-I, am I right?
It's A-N-A-I-A.
Oh, gosh. I really don't know.
Yeah.
God, dear. Does everyone get it wrong like me? Or?
That's my husband, yeah.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Great website, 12culinarystew.com. And you. on it is the two-pan chicken with red potatoes and feta. So can you talk us through it, please?
Yes, that's like a really very simple one. You basically, the oven is doing all the work for you, and the ingredients are quite easy to prepare. So you just need some chicken breast, about 750 grams. If you have a nice butcher, he can actually dice it up for you, so you don't even have to chop it up yourself. You put that on on the hob, so you brown that and get rid of all sort of the raw chicken juices and have it relatively brown. But while you're doing that, you've already scrubbed and chopped red potatoes, which are very good because you don't have to peel them. Their skin is nice and tender, so all you have to do is just give them a good wash, remove the little eyelets. Chop those up, put those in a pan in the oven along with a red onion that's sliced into thick wedges. So that's in the oven for about 15 minutes, and you've already done your chicken and you have that waiting. So once that initial one, that initial bake is done, you add the chicken to it. You mix it again with some oregano and some olive oil. Put that back in for 15 minutes. Then everything should be tender and ready. You crumble up a package of feta cheese. And you put that on the grill until it melts, and you get a nice creamy tang of the feta cheese, and there's your dinner.
Lovely. Simple.
Very simple.
Do you remember what your very first recipe was you put up 7 years ago this week?
It was a horrible photo as well. I still do make the recipe. It just wasn't a very pretty photo. It is a tuna salad. So it's a salad with beans and onions and a sort of a mustardy vinaigrette with a can of tuna in it, and you mix it all up, and it's very delicious, but the photo was horrible, and the recipe wasn't probably not written the most easy way to follow, but we learn as you go along.
Tuna, bean, and roasted red pepper salad with Dijon dressing. It's something we were talking about yesterday, that is that whole thing of food photography. It's not easy, is it?
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, my blog, like I said, you know, I'm stirring the bubbling cauldron of food experiences. It was never about being a recipe site. I love recipe sites. There are some fantastic ones with beautiful photos and beautiful recipes that are really well done, like Michelle of the last food blog that we had on your show. that's fantastic. Yeah. But mine is just sort of like, I'm just kind of sharing what I have there. I feel like putting this recipe on because I've had time to do it, and I'll take a couple of photos before I eat it. I don't food style it or anything. But I have worked on my photography, just getting a better iPhone, and recently I got, you know, proper camera. So practicing doing that and just having some better content and just making it more interesting and motivating for me as well, because we can always improve.
The explosion in people sharing recipes, talking about food, and recommending things is enormous, isn't it? I mean, the number of followers that some websites have is just humongous.
Yeah, and I think Instagram has become a lot more popular than Facebook. So it's quite visual. So I think that's also helped people get on there and find an audience.
Yeah. 4D printing is what you need. Then you can print out your tortellini or whatever it is.
Yeah. There is 3D printing from Cambridge, isn't there?
Yeah. I'm sure you're right. So what's next, Pina? What are you up to next?
Today?
And generally, what's the next recipe you're going to put on the site?
I think whatever I feel like, oh, you know what, I haven't done this one in a while. I think I do a nice mushroom risotto that I keep saying, you know what, I should put the recipe, I should take the time and write it down and do proper photos. So it might be a mushroom risotto.
And I like to ask this of foodie people. You come home late at night, you've been working hard, you just want to have a quick snack before you go to bed. Is it, you know, what do you do for yourself? Is it the fish fingers? Is it cheese on toast? You know, is it leftover Chinese? What do you have as your snack?
I think just being from an Italian background, there will always be some form of pasta in the house, whether it's a pasta, you know, dried pasta or even some gnocchi that you can, you know, filled gnocchi or tortellini that you can actually even have in the freezer as well. And it's really easy to just dunk in some boiling water and do something with some lovely flavored olive oils and some grated pecorino or Parmesan.
Nice.
I've got one on standby for emergencies, which I get from Signorelli's Deli, and it's a gnocchi filled with gorgonzola. Oh. And you just fry that up in the pan in about like 2 minutes, and you add some olive oil and a little bit of butter. If you've got a little bit of tomato sauce left over in the fridge, add that, a little bit of cheese. Fantastic.
Fantastic. Well, Alex from Signorelli's was on the other week, actually, wasn't he? Last week, week before. So I tell you what, we might get you back, if that's all right, to talk us through some Italian recipes another time. Would you do that for us?
Yeah, I'd love that. That'd be great.
Thank you so much for being our guest, Pina.
My absolute pleasure.
Pina Broccoli 12 culinarystew.com. The sound.